Well, it's good to be back in church today, and thank you for being here. I know that some of you have had difficult weeks. I talked to some even this morning, said, well, it's been a tough week, but you're glad to be here, and I am as well. Been a lot going on this week, of course, and my wife, this is the spring break for my daughter at Cedar View Christian School, and so my wife and daughters, they left to go for a little trip with her sister and then her daughter. And did you ever feel like you're in maybe a silly movie or something about a lot of stuff lining up to happen? It was raining yesterday, and Amy was heading out, and I had to come over here, and the lights were off because the power was out, some because of the storm, I'm assuming. And before I left, though, our little dog ran off and wouldn't come, and I had to go chase her. And my gas tank was about empty on the way over. I realized I'm going to run out of gas. Got to get over there and get gas. And come to the church and the little office door. The wind caught my door and shut my fingers in the door. I tell you, just one thing after another, I felt like I was in a country music song. Give me that guitar that Megan played, and I just strum along something. And other than getting drunk and staying out all night, I had them all covered. But sometimes your days just go like that. You know, it used to be that they said that back in the 70s, they would talk about playing that music backwards, and you hear satanic words and all that. You know what you get if you play your country music backwards? You get your dog back, you get your house back, you get your wife back. That's not true either, but sometimes your weeks go like that. Well, it just seemed like one thing after another, but I'm glad through all of that. That we remember that we're not putting our goodness, our happiness, our joy, we're not basing that on what goes on this earth. Please don't forget, Christian, this world is not our home, as the songwriter wrote. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So that's the way that sometimes it happens. It just seems like it lines up, and sometimes your weeks go that way as well. But I thank God for what He has given us, and I'm thanking that He's given us a great crowd here this morning. I'm looking forward to the next 2 weeks. And I really do want you to pray and work and invite folks for those two. Just think of this. By a little tool of a resurrection service, a special emphasis, or the family service, just with a little tool, you've got to let God use us to have somebody hear the message and their lives forever be changed. What a joy. And I know we have that opportunity every Sunday. You can invite them anytime. I understand that. But sometimes we just need a little incentive, not for us to do it, but incentive for them to say, well, you're helping me out if you'd come on that day. And we're looking forward to it. I trust that the Lord will bless us in a special way over the next couple weeks for Family Day and then Easter as it gets off the ground. Well, I want to preach to you for a little while for these next moments from Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, we're going to look at the last verse 50, 51, 52. While you're finding your place there in Genesis, should be easy, first book of the Bible, but as you're finding your place in Genesis 41, I did hear this story about this lady that got pulled over, and I hate to say it because this fits some of you, but she had a certain hair color that's lighter than the others. And so this blonde lady got pulled over. And so the police officer got out of the car and came up, and as it would happen, that she was a blonde lady as well. And so the police officer said, well, I need to see your driver's license. And that blonde lady looked up and said, well, I don't even know. I don't know what, she was just real flustered. I don't know what that is. What is it? She should be in your purse there. And she said, look for a little square. And it should be a square and a picture of you. So that blonde driver, she's flipping through her purse. She's just so flustered. And she finally found a little compact mirror for makeup. And she looked at it. Sure enough, that looked just like her. So much so, Pastor, my twin, that must be it. And so she handed out the window to the blonde police officer. And the blonde police officer took that compact mirror and she looked at it and said, oh, I didn't know you were a police officer as well. You can go ahead and go. So, now I understand. You could have done that for a dark-haired man, but it just doesn't have the same ring to it. I don't know. And we praise the Lord for a little bit of laughter, a little bit of fun. I want to bring a message today about a needed possession that many Christians just simply don't have. And so I'm glad you're here on today, because I think that there's a lot of Christians who are going ill-equipped for the rest of their life. We're going to learn about Joseph. You remember Joseph. He's the man that was sold by his brothers, sold into slavery, and God raised him back up. Then he got to a high position, then lied about by Potiphar's wife, and then put back into prison. And then he thought he was going to see his way out, but he was forgotten as he told the dreams of the butler and the baker, and the one that made out, he forgot him and didn't remember to tell Pharaoh again. He was lied about, he was forgotten, he was sold, and yet God still just seemed to bless him in a mighty way. And I want to preach for a little while about what I believe is one of the secrets, if it is a secret, to that life. And you're looking at Genesis 41, verse number 50. Unto Joseph and unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And verse 51, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, he hath made me to forget all my toil and my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of affliction. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And you remember the story, there's going to be seven good years, then seven bad years. But I want to bring this message and ask this question, do you have a Manasseh? Because Joseph did, literally had a son that he named Manasseh, and his name literally means fruitful, as it says in the verse there, because it means a forgetting, I should say, because God hath made me forget all my toil. And his Ephraim, his brother, his name literally means fruitful. I read about this story of W.E. Sangster. He was a preacher back in yesteryear in England. He was powerful from what I gather. I've never heard him on video or even on audio, but was used of the Lord. But he was diagnosed with a disease that was eventually going to take his life and going to cause muscular atrophy, where all of his muscles were going to become useless and waste away, and his voice would eventually fail. And the doctor said, ultimately, your throat won't be able to function and swallow. Well, he had a couple of choices. He decided to throw himself into the work before his physical state got so much. What cued him into it, his throat felt a little funny one day, and just not thinking much about it, but it never got any better. And he started dragging one leg at first, and that's what kind of cued him into it. But he decided that he was going to pour himself into some home missions, some work that he could do there. And he said, God, I don't have to be the general, but if you'd at least give me a regiment to lead, I'd sure be most thankful. He started writing articles and books and would organize prayer groups and sales around England. Eventually, just like the doctor said, his legs became useless. His voice was eventually gone, but he could still write, and he would do that. A few weeks before Sangster died, he wrote to his daughter. It was a few weeks before he died, but also before Easter, and he wrote to his daughter. He said this, it's terrible to wake up Easter morning and have no voice to shout, he is risen. But it would be more terrible. It would be more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout. The old saying, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Well, I don't want to be so trite and to say that the things that have happened in your life, you ought to make lemonade out of them. But this man, Sangster, passed the test that many of us fail. You say, Pastor, what test are you talking about? I'm talking about that test that in James chapter 1, verse 2, those diverse temptations, those various trials that come along, the Bible says we're supposed to handle those in a certain way. They come upon us and they set many people off to the side in their life. And they never recover. Notice in our text what child comes first. Verse 51, Manasseh. It's not until Manasseh, that forgetting, which his name literally means, comes. It's not until then that we can see verse number 52, that Ephraim, and that Ephraim means literally fruitful. You see, Joseph had made it a practice in his life to put behind him the bad and see what God had him for him in the future. We see Joseph sold and lied about and forgotten, yet he still manages to go on. I'll give you a couple, 3 points. We'll see how the message goes. But I see, first of all, in verse 51, that we need God to help us forget. Because the Bible says, he called upon the name of the firstborn, Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toils and all my father's house. There's a restaurant many of you are familiar with that illustrates this point very, very well. For when you don't want to fry chicken at home, you go to KFC, or if you choose to. Colonel Sanders, as he was later deemed to be a colonel, bounced from one venture to a next. He was a fireman, he was an insurance salesman, he was a steamboat operator, and he had several other things. He farmed for a while, but he just bounced from job to job, so much so that his wife eventually went back to her parents, and Colonel Sanders would go over to the house and try to convince her to come back, and she did. But it wasn't until 1952, when he was 62 years old, that he opened his first franchise. And of course, the rest, as they say, is history. Just a side note about Colonel Sanders. He said, by his own admission, that the greatest thing that ever happened to him didn't happen until he was 77 years of age. A preacher was working with him. He was known to have a foul mouth. And the preacher was trying to get him to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he asked the preacher, if I got saved, you think Jesus would help me with that mouth? And he helped him more than with just the mouth. But he said the greatest thing that ever happened to him was when he came to Jesus Christ as his Savior. And by the way, it did help with his cussing. He set all that aside and lived the rest of his days trying to glorify the Lord. I'm saying this morning that as he illustrated those failures behind and he just went on, in our spiritual life, we need to do just that. We need to set those failures behind. The Bible says, as Joseph told the people there, God hath made me to forget. And if I could give a little time out right here, I'm not saying that you'll forget, literally forget the things that went on to you, the atrocities that somebody did to you, the abuse that was dished out, or the unfair things that happened to you. I'm not saying that you'll block those out of your mind and forget, but what I am saying is that we can take advice from the Word of God, and we can take the marching orders from the Bible and say that we ought to forget, leave those things behind, because without that forgetting, the fruitfulness doesn't come. And so I ask you this morning, do you have that Manasseh? Do you have that gift of God, that forgetting, that's allowed you to look beyond those things that happened in the past and go forward to see what God has done? I'm afraid that I know, and you do as well, too many people who will not let God do a work in their life because they cannot have a forgetting of what went on in the past. Can I tell you that Joseph did better than his father Jacob? You're in Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 47. In Genesis chapter 47, this is the famed Jacob, Joseph's daddy, that thought his son was dead for so long and eventually got word that his son was alive and went down to Egypt where he could be taken care of. Chapter 47, verse 9. The Bible says, and Jacob said unto Pharaoh, this is when Joseph is administrating the meeting between his dad and Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. What that means is, I've had a bad life. Had a lot rougher than some of my family, and I never got to do what they got to do. My friend, please understand this. By the grace of God and the help of the Almighty, you do not have to be held hostage to what happened to you in the past. If anybody is an example of overcoming their obstacles, it's this character that we look at today, and that's Joseph, a member of mine. My dad's side lost a teenage son to an accident. After the loss of her son, she never recovered. She was still in the home, but not really. Do you know those folks that are absent even though they're sitting right there? She didn't go anywhere. She didn't leave her family, but she did. And so she was so absent from the other son that wasn't gone that he eventually took his life because the support system was not there, because he too was grieving the loss of his brother. My friend, I'm not trying to tell you that you're going to literally forget. Please, I give you that disclaimer again. I'm not saying you're going to forget. Somebody says, how do you get over something like that in the past? I don't think you do get over it. Just with God's help, you go on. And Joseph went on. But I'm afraid that many of the Christians that I know, they don't have a Manasseh. And if you and I don't let God help you and I move on, then we won't be able to move on to Ephraim because we never had a Manasseh. First of all, I see that we need God's help to forget, because literally that's what God said back in our text. He said that Joseph said, God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil. But not only does God have to help us forget, number two, God will cause the bounty in verse number 52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. You see the progression. First of all, there's a forgetting, and then there's a fruitful. We want the fruitful without the forgetting. Just think about this for a moment, the contrast between Joseph and his brothers. You're wherever you are in Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 50. We see Joseph, who's used of God in a special way, delivers a whole nation, actually delivers more than that nation, and he's blessed of God, and he has this fruitful life. But let's contrast that with his brothers. Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter of the book, verse number 16. This is after Jacob, the daddy, dies. Few and evil have been my days of my pilgrimage. He was not forgetting some things. And so he raised some boys other than Joseph that also didn't forget some things, because we see that Joseph, although fruitful and used of the Lord, his brothers are held captive and hostage to what had happened to them in the past. Verse number 16, they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, Dad's dead now. They're afraid. Joseph's going to take out vengeance on them now that daddy Jacob is gone. They lie in verse number 16. Thy father did command before he died, saying, we call that liar, liar, pants on fire. He didn't, but they said it. So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Here's going to set up the play, the scenario, for what Joseph is going to use, Joseph now to display to everybody his forgetting. Because look on down at verse number 20. They say, your dad told us to tell you, don't feel bad about your brothers. Verse number 20, verse chapter 50. But as for you, Joseph says, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You can't get to verse number 20 without having a forgetting. And forgetting may not be the best word. That's what we have here. Maybe it's the best word, the word of God. But maybe it could be in our modern vernacular, a dealing with that and leaving it in the past and going forward and seeing what God has for you. You don't get to verse number 20 without having a Manasseh. One of the most humble pastors that I know is a man named John Wilkerson. Amy, my wife, heard his wife speak about a tragic accident that took their teenage son from them through an auto accident. And in this ladies' meeting that Amy was at, the pastor's wife, who had lost the 17-18-teenage boy, she had stopped by the site of the accident, and they'd picked up a piece of glass from the wreckage, and she'd had that to show the ladies that day, and to show them that although their hearts were just broken to pieces, that they believed that God was going to let them go on, and go on they have, and they've been a blessing to thousands of people, telling how through great tragedy, God has sustained them. Do you have a Manasseh? Or is there something in your past that is still keeping you captive? Is your past holding your future hostage? And you won't see what God wants to do because you can't go beyond what He allowed back in the day. If anybody had reason to be upset, it was Joe. Joseph was lied about, sold literally as a piece of merchandise, forgotten. Yet he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good." Now let me give, just for clarification, it's either a third point or you can just use it as a conclusion, whatever you want to do. Here's what didn't happen. Number three, the surroundings didn't change, because at the end of verse number 52 of our original text, we see that God says, Joseph says, He's allowed me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Some of us in this room think, as soon as situations straighten up, then I'll be happy. As soon as my circumstances change, then I can be on top side. But can I tell you this morning, if you're not happy when you're poor, you won't be happy when you're rich. If you're not happy when you're driving a Pinto, I threw that in for some of you old timers, you're not going to be happy when you're driving a Mercedes-Benz. And what Joseph tells us is that God allowed me to be fruitful in mine affliction. So here we are looking for it to get better, and then I'll be nice. Here we are looking for all of our circumstances to change, then I'll be what I need to be. Probably not. Because not only did God help Joseph have a forgetting, He caused him to have fruitful living, but He caused it in the midst of his affliction. I believe Joseph was a happy guy when Potiphar's wife lied about him, put him back down in prison. Now, he wasn't Superman. He had his days. But it's obvious as you follow the biblical narrative that he just got back up and started showing some leadership traits again and doing what God wanted him to do. And here you and I are waiting for things to get better. And then, oh boy, you ain't seen nothing yet till you see me on top side. We probably won't ever get there unless we learn to be forgetful of the things in the past. This one thing I do, the Bible says in the book of Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But we're waiting for our situation to get better. Then after my circumstances get better, then my attitude will get better. I believe if your attitude gets better, probably your circumstances will get better. But whether they do or not, you can have joy in the journey. Let me give you this illustration. I sat in a crude little church in Jamaica. We went for a missions trip. And the missionary told us, he said, "This isn't the Jamaica of the brochures." He said, "That's out there." Show us a little map. He said, "That's around here. This is where all of the cruise ships come in. We're inside there. We're just poor and they don't really have much." But I watched these people in this church service without the basics that we require, lifting their hands in praise to the Lord, praising God, singing, shouting, saying amen, listening to the pastor, just with the joy of the Lord on their face. They weren't waiting for their circumstances to get better. They'd forgot all about that. They were just living fruitful in the land of affliction. So I've come this morning to tell you, if we're waiting for everything to get better, then we'll smile. You may be in for a long wait. We want all our wrongs to be righted, then I'll be happy. But you can't enjoy Ephraim until you have a Manasseh. And I don't know what's holding you up in your Christian life. Every time that you come against a problem, that you immediately go back to what happened 5 years ago. Every time you come into a struggle, you immediately go back to your childhood and somebody did you wrong. Every time you have a struggle, you say, well, yeah, but it was my first marriage and that was just a horrible thing. Every time that something goes against you, your mind immediately goes back to some point, doesn't it? I'm asking you today, like Joseph literally had a son, Manasseh, and that son came before Ephraim. You say, why would God do that? I believe for a great picture for us, to show there must be that Manasseh. So if your past is holding your future hostage, I challenge you, whether you put it on this literal altar up here or whether you put it in an altar of your seat, that you today do business with the Lord. Say, Lord, with your good, with your help, I'm going to do as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm just going to leave them behind. I'm going to have, God, if you'd help me, give me a forgetting so that I can go forward and have that Ephraim. Can I tell you one last thing this morning? If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, if a horrendous accident would happen and we all left this world in this building today because of some malfunction, some horrendous accident, you're not sure that heaven would be your home. You're not sure you're saved. Maybe you're waiting for a lot of stuff to get done. You're waiting for all the things to line up, and as soon as this happens and this happens, preacher, I'm going to get saved. Can I just tell you, you need to bring it all to Jesus. Jesus doesn't tell you to fix everything up and then come to Him. That'd be like your mechanic saying, hey, as soon as you get your car running good, bring it over here. Right? Joey? No, that's what they're there for. They'll go get your car on a rollback record and bring it over if they have to. Jesus doesn't tell you to get everything straightened up, and when you get presentable, come see me, then I'll save you. My friend, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, you need to come to Jesus and just turn from everything else. Forget it all. Come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins. Your problem is not that you don't get along with your neighbors and your coworkers. That's a problem, but that's not the problem. Your problem is a sin problem. You need to just come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And Christian, if you're here today, I ask you what I ask you as I start the message. Do you have a Manasseh? Has God given you the strength to forget some of those things that are behind you? Because if they're got a stranglehold on you, you'll never be able to go forward and do very much. Manasseh comes every time before Ephraim does. Bless us, Father, is our prayer. Lord, our time has expired. Our crowd is here. And Lord, I pray that you've dealt thoroughly with the hearts of some people. Lord, too many good people that I know are letting their past keep them from any victory in the future. Lord, I'm not saying that they can literally forget the abuse that they've had from the hands of somebody. Please don't let people think that's what I mean. I'm not literally thinking that they forget about an abusive marriage or something. Lord, you know that's not possible in our frail minds. The injustices have been done against them. I'm not pretending to say they weren't real, but Lord, I'm saying for the sake of the individual, if they don't give those things to you, they'll never be able to go forward and see all that you have for them. Folks, do you have a Manasseh? Have you forgot and let God take care of? He still says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He'll take care of it. You don't have to worry and fret all night about it. He'll take care of it. You say, preacher, but you don't know what so-and-so did to me. I know this. God's more just and more fair and more, he's not forgetting like you are. He will right every wrong. Give it to him. Father, bless us now as our prayer, please, in Jesus' name. Would you stand together if you're able to as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you feel the need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm giving you something right here today. I challenge you to come and give it to the Lord. If you don't have the courage maybe to step out, I understand sometimes intimidating, but please don't leave without giving those things to the Lord. Please don't leave without having a Manasseh. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God's already led you and your family here. Why don't you slip out and come? Brother Daniel's right down in the front of the pulpit I preach from. You'd love to come present yourself, then follow the Lord's will in your life. Maybe you're saved, need to be baptized. Come and present yourself for that. Maybe you have some other need in your life. Let's not leave this place without doing business with the Lord. I didn't come, and I don't believe you did, to come to play games. We really came to have church. Oh, it thrills my soul. As they just play another verse or so, if God's speaking to your heart, I want you to do business with the Lord. Listen, friend, I don't pretend to know what you've been through. People in this room have been through issues tenfold worse than what I have. I get it. I'm just delivering the message. Joseph, though mistreated and beat and forgotten and sold, lied about, he still had that fruitful Christian life, fruitful godly life that you and I as a Christian can have today. But he taught us a great lesson that God made him to forget those toils. We can live in the land of Canaan, live in the promised land, even though we had those wilderness wanderings, that slave time in Egypt. Do you have a Manasseh? Thank you so much. You may look this way. And what a joy to have everybody in church. They texted me the number there. I forget what it is exactly, but well over 500 people have gathered together with us here on the property, and we're so thankful for that, thankful for what God's doing. I pray that you take this message home. And before I preached it, I have some apprehension because I don't want people to think I know it all or that I've seen what you've seen. As I said in that prayer, many people in this room, you've seen tenfold worse than I have. But the principle remains the same, regardless of who gives it. Because Joseph's life teaches us that he needs to give those things to God and go on for the glory of God. Thank you again for being in church. I'm going to slip back to the lobby and love to greet you if you have time. And we're looking forward to tonight, a good service here at 6:30, choir practice before that. We'll have a great time in God's house. Please don't forget one more chance I get to tell you before next week for Family Sunday. Please try to get that family member here. And my brother-in-law is a wonderful preacher, one of the greatest preachers I know, and I believe God will use him next Sunday, and so I challenge you to be here. I'd like for you to get to meet him anyways. He's Amy's brother, and we'll have a good time together. And then, of course, Easter Sunday coming up. Please don't forget to get some of those invite cards, and you take it as a mission to get somebody under the sound of the gospel for Resurrection Sunday. That'd be a wonderful, wonderful prayer and activity for you to be involved in the next couple of weeks. So we thank you for that. Well, it's happened. We're 3 minutes after 12, and Daniel Wakefield said beforehand, when he said, if you want to get something in the lobby this afternoon, I was planning on stopping before noon, so you would have gotten those cards in the lobby, but Daniel messed us up, and during the announcement time, he said, after you leave this afternoon. And so he's been a prophet today. Shame, shame, shame on Daniel. I would have had you out on time, but it was all Daniel Wakefield's fault. So thank you for being in church this morning. What a joy to have you. I hope that you'll greet several folks that you haven't seen yet, that you haven't got to talk to yet today, and tell them that you'll be praying for them. God bless you. You're dismissed.